ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
इहते भगवान् ईशो न हि तत्र विसज्यते आत्मलाभेन पूर्णार्थो नावसीदन्ति येन तम्।
The Supreme Personality of Godhead is full in opulence by his own gain, yet he acts as the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of this material world. In spite of acting in that way, he is never entangled. Hence, devotees who follow in his footsteps are also never entangled. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, yagyartha karmanon yatra lokamam karma bandana. Work done as sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work binds one to this material world. If we do not act in Krishna consciousness, we shall be entangled like silkworms in cocoons. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, appears in order to teach us how to work so that we will not be entangled in this material world. Our real problem is that we are entangled in materialistic activities, and because we are conditioned, our struggle continues through punishment in material existence, in one body after another, in different forms of life. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Mamaivam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manasustan indriyani prakriti stani karasati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. The living entities are actually minute forms who are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is full in everything, and the small particles of the Lord are also originally qualified like him. But because of their minute existence, they are infected by material attraction and thus entangled. We must therefore follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then, like Krishna, who is never entangled by his material activities of creation, maintenance, and annihilation, we will have nothing for which to lament. Navasidanti ye nutam. Krishna personally gives instructions in Bhagavad Gita, and anyone who follows these instructions is liberated. Following Krishna's instructions is possible when one is a devotee, for Krishna instructs that one should become a devotee. Manmana bhava mad bhakto mad yaji mam namaskuru. Always think of me and become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Always thinking of Krishna means chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But unless one is an initiated devotee, he cannot do this. As soon as one becomes a devotee, he engages in deity worship, mad yaji. A devotee's business is to offer obeisances to the Lord and the spiritual master constantly. This principle is the recognized way to come to the platform of bhakti. As soon as one comes to this platform, he gradually understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and simply by understanding Krishna, one is liberated from material bondage. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is full in opulence by his own gain, and yet he acts as the creator and maintainer and annihilator of this material world. In spite of acting in that way, he is never entangled. Hence, devotees who follow in his footsteps are never entangled. Karma yevadikaraste ma phaleshu tu kashtana ma karma phalehetur ghor ma te sangostu karmani. Bhagavad Gita teaches us that we have a right to perform our duty, but we are never entitled to the fruits of our activities. At the same time, we must know that we are not the cause of the results of our activities. and we can never be attached to not doing our duty. So our duty is the instruction of the spiritual master in Krishna. We have a right to perform our duty. In fact, it is the greatest privilege, the greatest benediction to have the right to engage in devotional service. Whatever that service may be, there is no greater gain that can be attained within this entire world than simply the execution of devotional service. Material vision discriminates between one service and another. But one who understands the transcendental nature of devotional service, he sees that anything that is done under the order of Guru for the pleasure of Krishna, they are all on the transcendental platform. If the spiritual master tells you to clean the toilets, or if the spiritual master asks you to give a lecture to 100,000 people, there is no difference. They are both completely on the transcendental platform. They are both, by the power of bhakti, the means of deliverance. In fact, if the spiritual master sincerely wants you to clean the toilet and you give lecture to 100,000 people instead, cleaning the toilet would have been a higher service. Because our spiritual advancement comes through the process of pleasing the spiritual master. And of course, in a very practical situation, it comes through pleasing those who are representing the spiritual master, who are his entrusted servants and servants of those servants, who are giving order on his behalf. But it is through the process of pleasing Guru that we are engaged in bhakti yoga. And we should know that whatever service we are so graciously and mercifully offered by Krishna through his representatives, it is our fortune, it is our right. And if we accept it with such a heart of gratitude and obedience, then we can make proper spiritual advancement. But if we see it materially, then you will never see Krishna. We should try to see Krishna in our service. Do not try to see Krishna, but try to serve Krishna in such a way that he will want to see you. That means we must learn to look for Krishna within our service. Devotional service is the very energy of Srimati Radharani, and therefore devotional service is none different than Srimati Radharani. So by seeing devotional service in a material way, by complaining about the type of service that is given to us, what we are doing is we are complaining about how Sri Sri Radha Gopinatha is appearing to me. When Krishna so mercifully appears, it is not polite to say, "Krishna, why are you appearing like this? I want you like this instead. I don't like you appearing like this. This is not a very nice way to appear." Actually, that is what you are doing, literally. If you're asked to do something, even if you do not like it, you should understand that this is your service. This is Radharani's appearance in your life out of her mercy.
No, no, Radharani. I don't like you like this. I like you like this instead.
Of course, if we are in the enjoying mood, then we are very particular about what we like to do. But if we are properly in the service attitude, then we allow the master to be particular. We simply carry out the order. We simply follow the order. And this is our great privilege. Devotional service is a very rare privilege. If you examine the world we live in, there are billions of people in the human form of life, and practically all of them are engaged in materialistic activities which are karma bandhana, simply further entangling them in the sources of karma, the sources of miserable conditions of life. How few, how rare it is to find someone who is engaged in those pure spiritual activities under the guidance of a Guru Maharaj that are liberating them from the cycle of birth and death. To achieve devotional service is so rare. To have the right, to have the privilege of engaging in devotional service is such a rare, rare benediction that we should not be so proud that we are fussy about what type of service Radha and Krishna are giving to me. We should be grateful for whatever. Of course, oftentimes new devotees are like this because they're so frustrated in the struggle of material existence. When they hear the philosophy and they see that, oh, I can wash a pot for Krishna, they just wash that pot with their life and soul because it's for Krishna. Because it's the first time in their life they are doing something that's liberating them rather than keeping them in bondage. But then what happens is after we are devotees for some time, we're given so much devotional service, which is so rare, that we start to not understand what we have. We start to think that the diamonds of devotional service are no better than glass, and we neglect them. If you have the rarest diamond, but you don't take care of it, what happens is you lose it. There is an example of this. If one has the most beautiful, wonderful jewel, but if he doesn't understand the value of that jewel, and therefore he does not properly be attentive to protect it and maintain, then eventually that jewel is either lost or stolen. Now what is the condition of that person? He is most unfortunate because he had the most beautiful thing, but because he did not understand its value, he was careless and it was taken away. And when to get that jewel back? Maybe a long time. May not be in this life. May not be in many lives. So we are given the jewel of bhakti, of the right to serve Krishna, which is the only singular means of going back to Godhead, of liberating oneself in loving devotion to God. But sometimes we become so familiar, we just don't see the value of what we have. And we neglect it. We are careless with it. And when Krishna sees we are neglectful and careless, eventually he will take it away. And then we are the most fortunate. Most unfortunate, I'm sorry. The most unfortunate. So therefore, by hearing properly Srimad Bhagavatam, we can understand the great fortune we are given in devotional service.
when we understand how karma bandhana activities are keeping everyone bound to the cycle of birth and death, and how only through the process of engaging in devotional activities that we can free ourselves, we understand how important it is. Srila Prabhupada told us that on the path of bhakti there are two sections. There is Pancharatriki Vidhi and there is Bhagavad Dharma. Pancharatriki Vidhi means the service that we render to the deity of the Lord. And Bhagavad Dharma is the process of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Now they are both essential, but Bhagavad Dharma must be very carefully understood and must be very, very sincerely accepted. Why? Because if we are not properly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, then we begin to see our Pancharatriki Vidhi activities as something material. Inevitably, we begin to think of our devotional service as just a job, just as the karmis have their jobs, just as the karmis work 9 to 5, so I also put my hours in for the temple. I also put my hours in for my guru. This is what happens if we do not properly hear. But if we properly hear the message of Godhead, this mentality will never come about. It's because we are constantly reminded of the rare fortune that we are given, that we have the right to serve Sri Hari. We are being given the most precious jewel of devotional service, and how we will care for it, how we will prize it, how we will be grateful for whatever little service we have the fortune of executing. This is very important. In fact, Srila Prabhupada told us that if you are not attentively and properly hearing and chanting, that means chanting the holy names according to prescribed number with attention and attentively hearing Bhagavad philosophy. If you are not doing both, he said, he warned us what will happen, not what might happen, what will happen. He said, eventually you will look at Radha Vrindavan Chandra or Radha Gopinath and you will understand all the service you have for them. And you will think, why has my spiritual master left me with such a burden? Rather than thinking, my spiritual master is so kind, such a wonderful benediction, that he's giving me the right to serve Radha Gopinath. And with a heart full of light and enthusiasm, we just gratefully engage in any little tiny morsel of service we can find for Radha Gopinath. That life is what makes Krishna consciousness beautiful. That is the result of properly hearing the philosophy and chanting the holy names. But if you are not hearing and chanting regularly, attentively, then those same activities you simply see as a burden. I have to do this. Why my guru has left me to have to do this? Why can't somebody else do it? Why me? Isn't there anyone else? Krishna reveals himself according to how you approach him. If you are thinking, Krishna, isn't there someone else that can do this? Krishna sees, this is how he's looking at me. He's none different than devotional service. That service is God. That service is Radharani. If you're saying, Krishna, isn't there somebody else who could do this? It makes devotional service look like something that's very unwanted, very lowly. If you look at Krishna like that, he will reciprocate accordingly. He will say, if you don't want me, Then you live your life, rascal. That is how Krishna will see you. I'm appearing to you in this most beautiful and merciful way, and this is, you don't want me? You're complaining about me? Then you go on. You go on. You simply be satisfied in your complaints. You simply be satisfied in your own mental illusion. But if you look for satisfying Krishna through our service, then you will be satisfied. This is what is meant by yoga, to control the mind. To control the mind by directing our mind in such a way that we understand what is devotional service. And we train our mind to be very enthusiastic and happy simply for the opportunity to satisfy our guru, to satisfy Krishna. So karmanyevadikaraste ma paleshu dukashtana ma karma palahe turaburamate sangasta karma. You have the right, you have the great fortune of engaging in your duty. But never, never think that you are entitled to the fruits of your actions. You see, if you think that you are entitled to the fruits of your action, then yes, you will be very fussy, and you will be very much particular about what type of service you like to do. Huh? Because you're attached to the fruits. But if you understand that Krishna is the exclusive enjoyer of those fruits, then does it matter what you do? It's being done for Krishna's enjoyment. Is devotional service being done for your enjoyment, or is it being done for Krishna's enjoyment? To that degree that you think that it is being done for your enjoyment, to that degree you cannot taste the sweetness of bhakti. And to the degree you simply do it for Krishna's enjoyment, to that degree you can taste the sweetness of bhakti. We find that those devotees that are happiest and that are most enthusiastic, our devotees will just do anything because it pleases Krishna. Very simple. And the devotees that are the most miserable, the most morose, the least enthusiastic, are those devotees who are very particular and choosy about what I like to do. Right? The more surrendered you are, the more blissful you become. We can see it with our own eyes. But we are sometimes very foolish. We're thinking, if I do this, then I will be trapped and I'll be miserable. Prahlad Maharaj said, if you want to be happy, stop trying to be happy. As long as you're trying to find happiness in your devotional service, you're going to be miserable. It's a fact. As soon as you just stop trying to find happiness in your devotional service and you think, is Krishna happy? Krishna's happy when you simply do it, when you obey, when you surrender. Then you become filled with life, enthusiasm, and ecstasy. So this consciousness has a completely opposite effect. When we try to find happiness, we find misery. And when we try to give happiness, we find happiness. Huh? This is the eternal law on the spiritual path. Krishna is the enjoyer of the fruits of our activities. We are not the enjoyer of our activities. Let us simply do our service to be enjoyed by Krishna. And what does Krishna enjoy? He enjoys our surrender, the quality of our surrender. He does not enjoy the results. Someone was asking recently, what if someone tells you to do something and you know that you can do something better if you do it your way? But your guru wants you to do it another way, and you know you cannot do it as good that way. So what is the answer? Does Krishna care how good you do something? Or does Krishna care about your surrender? Krishna doesn't need people doing things good for him. He could do it better himself. He doesn't need you, rascal. You don't think he could do it? He's simply giving you the opportunity to surrender by giving you that service. He wants your surrender. Your duty is you must do it the best you can. That's the quality of your surrender. But you must do it the best you can the way he wants it. Krishna is simply looking for that quality of devotion. How to satisfy him, how to please him. Because he is the enjoyer of the fruits of our action, and the fruit that he enjoys is the quality of bhakti, the quality of surrender. Never consider yourself to be the cause of the results of your activities. This means that Krishna is the doer. However hard you try, whoever you are, your activity does not determine the result. It is in higher powers. Just like we read in Mahabharata about the great battle between Arjuna and Karna. What an incredible battle it was. Actually, Karna was, of the two, a better fighter. And he had very, very special, powerful weapons. The Shakti, the Nagastra. These weapons could both kill Arjuna, and he knew it. It was a wonderful battle. And ultimately, Arjuna, he was victorious. And Radheya knew that it wasn't because of Arjuna's skills, and it wasn't because of Radheya's lack of skills. Radheya understood that it is my fate that I have to lose, no matter how good I fight. Doesn't matter what I do, I'm going to lose this battle. He knew this toward the end. He saw that all of his efforts, beyond his control, they were all being foiled by Krishna. If Krishna wants Arjuna to win, Arjuna is going to win. Doesn't matter how great you are. If Krishna wants Karna to lose, he's going to lose. Krishna is the cause of the results of our activities. The real winning and losing is to surrender. The real winning and losing is not to obtain a result. If you obtain the right result, never be proud. It's Krishna who's given you that result. And if you obtain the wrong result, don't lament. Because Krishna's given you the wrong result. Actually, it's the right result. Success and failure are words for the gross materialists. A devotee never sees anything in terms of success or failure. If you're honestly trying to serve your spiritual master in Krishna, there can only be success. There's no such thing as failure. In the material world, people may say you're a failure. But we don't care for that. We don't care for them. If Krishna is satisfied, we are success. So never consider yourself to be the cause of the results of your activities. But then Krishna goes on, very important, end of this sloka, because the tendency is if I'm not the cause of the result of activities, then why should I do it? Krishna will do it anyway, right? If Krishna wants me to collect money and I'm not the cause of the result of collecting money, if Krishna is ultimately collecting the money, then let him collect. Why should I do it? Krishna says, never be attached to not doing your duty. You must do your duty, but you must do it with detachment. And this is what we are reading about in today's verse. performing activities with detachment. Detachment means we are simply doing it for the pleasure of Krishna. We are simply doing it in an act of service. We are not the enjoyer, nor do we ever consider ourselves to be the cause of the result. But we very, very carefully and obediently execute our duty. To understand these simple principles is real detachment. Krishna says, never be attached to not doing your duty. To not do your duty is attachment. To do your duty in this proper spirit of consciousness is detachment. And it is describing here how Lord Krishna, by his own example, he teaches us. Krishna creates, he maintains, and he annihilates the entire universe. But he's not attached to any of it. He simply does it as a facility for the living beings. He's not attached. He's completely detached. So if Krishna is detached from creating, maintaining, and annihilating the entire cosmic manifestation, what is our position? What is the magnitude of what we are doing compared to that? What we are doing is so insignificant and small, and yet we become attached. Huh? So therefore, Krishna is showing us, through his example, how to live. To perform our duties without attachment. To perform our duties for the pleasure of Krishna and the Guru, his representatives, his devotees. And simply by understanding this principle, there will be no impediments in our spiritual progress. But it is very important, in order for us to have this spirit, that we must chant the holy names sincerely. And we must hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day with a very, very attentive heart. If we are not doing these two things, it will be impossible for us to perform our service in this detached spirit, the spirit of bhakti. Sravanam Kirtanam Vishno. The process of hearing and chanting is the food which nourishes our heart and gives us strength to engage in devotional service in this proper consciousness. Is there any questions? Did not Arjuna try to win the war? But ultimately, it's not within your control. If Krishna makes the outcome a different way, you simply accept it. You have to try for success. If you don't try for success, then you're not a servant. You must try for success. But you're not attached. Just in the trying, you are successful. The result has nothing to do with whether you're a success or failure. It may or may not, but not necessarily. It is the effort that is the success. Krishna told Arjuna, whether you win or lose, it doesn't matter. Just do it, just fight for me. He said, if you win, you gain the whole world. If you lose, you go back to heavens. What is the difference? Just do it for me. That is success. Is there any other questions? Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.